外昆塔之音，服务员玉聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年11月28号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨迦·德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典《博迦梵歌》的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Welcome to the Saturday morning Bhagavad Gita class.
欢迎大家来参加星期六的圣典博迦梵歌的早课。
And today we will be reading text 36 of the first chapter and the purport.
今天我们一起来阅读一下梵歌的第一章第36诗节及其要旨。
Now, technically speaking, I think Kartik goes until November 29th, which would be tomorrow in China, right?
Yes. 所以说严格来说的话呢，卡尔提卡月是会一直持续到11月29号，对咱们中国来说也就是明天了。
Now, some devotees, they end Kartik on Ekadasi, which was yesterday.
Some devotees of Ekadasi, sorry.
They end Kartik. Ekadasi.
Oh, I see. 而有些奉献者的话是在昨天艾卡达西日的时候，然后就结束了整个卡尔提卡月。
I don't know exactly why, but I know there's these kind of two camps.
所以说我倒不确定，就是具体为什么他们会这样来选择做，但确实有这样的一种做法。
Anyway, I'm going to just assume that it's still Kartik and chant Sri Damodar Astika.
这总之的话呢，我认为现在还是卡尔提卡月，所以说的话呢，还是以这个卡尔提卡月的这个达摩达尔主达摩达尔的这个颂这个祈祷文来开启今天的早课。
And just to remind you all, this song is written by Maharaj Satyavrata.
然后就提醒一下大家，这首祷文是由 Satyavrata Maharaj 所写。
And he is also he was given the benediction to be the Vaivashvata Manu, which is the Manu in charge of creation right now.
然后他并且也得到了祝福，成为了我们现在所处的这个年代的 Manu.
And it's a special time to be in this creation because it's also the Yuga cycle that Lord Krishna appeared in.
而我们现在所处的整个这个时期的话呢，是整个创造历程当中特别很特殊的一段时期，因为正是在这个年代的循环中，主 Krishna 显现了。
And Satyavrata Maharaj, Satyavrata or Vaivashvata Manu, he was able to witness the pastimes, Krishna's childhood pastimes, and then he wrote a Dharmadharastika.
而Satyavrata Maharaj, 他当然也是 Vaivashvara Manu, 然后他见证了 Krishna 在童年时期的这个逍遥时光，于是就写下了这首 Dharmadhar Ashtakam.
And Sanatan Goswami recommends that we chant this Dharmadhar Ashtaka during the month of Kartik.
并且 Sanatan Goswami 也建议说，我们能够在卡尔提卡月的每天都吟诵吟唱这首祷文。
He says, if you chant this Damodar Astika during the month of Kartik, you will attract the attention of Lord Damodar to yourself.
他就说到，如果你能在卡尔提卡月的每天吟诵吟唱这首Damodar Ashtaka 的话，那么你就会得以吸引到主 Damodar 的注意力。
So you can just follow along as I sing, and we'll chant this together.
所以说我在唱的时候，大家就可以跟着我一起唱，我们就这样一起来吟诵这首祷文。
Okay, here we go.
开始。
Namam Iswaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasakundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yasodabhi yolukala dravyamanam param vishtamanyata todritya gopya Rudantamohu netram yumam rijantam karam bhujayumena satakanetram Muhu swasakam patri rekanta kanta Chita gravo damo daram bhakti badam Iti dvik swali labir ananda kunde Swagosham nimajantam akyapayantam Tariyeshti targeshu bhakter jitatvam Puna primatastvam satavriti vande Varam deva moksham na moksham mahimva Nachanya rineham vare sharapiha Idam teva purnata gopala balam sadame manaya virastam kemanyai Idam te makambo jamananta nilar pritam kunta naisnigda raktaischa gopya Muhushimbitam bimba rakta darame Anaya virashtam ala lakshalabhai Namo devo damodar ananta vishnu Asida prabho dukkha chalagni magnam Kripa drishti vrishtyati dina batanu Prihanesha mamajam ekyasti drishtya Kuviratma jau bauda martai vyadvat Vayamuchito bhakti vajokrito cha Tata prima bhaktim swakame prayacha Amokshe grahome siddhamodareha Namaste studane spuraditi dane Padiyardayayata vishwasadane Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Prayayai Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tuvyam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Yasoda Damodara, Yasoda Damodara, Radhe Nita Gaur Premananda Hare Hare Bo. Okay, let us begin with, we're on text 36 today of chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita.
好，我们现在一起来开始阅读《博迦梵歌》的第一章三十六十节。
And Krishna and Arjuna, they're on the chariot in the middle of the battlefield, right in the middle of the two armies before they begin to fight.
Krishna 和 Arjuna 此时正站在两军对仗之中间的这个马车上。
And after he looked over both the armies and saw all his friends and relatives, he decided better not to fight.
而当 Arjuna 看到对阵双方里面都有他的亲人和朋友的时候，他就决定不想作战了。
Even though it was his duty to fight as a Kshatriya, he became overwhelmed with feelings of grief.
即便他作为刹帝利是有职责要去战斗的，但是的话呢，在那一刻的话，他的那种悲痛的感受却完全的压倒了他。
The thought of his friends and relatives dying was just overwhelming for him.
他一想到他的亲人和朋友们即将在战场上死去，然后这样的一个念头就已经完全的让他感到措手不及了。
And he thought, even if he won the kingdom, he wouldn't enjoy the kingdom without his friends and relatives being present there.
他就想到，即便他战胜然后赢得了那个王国，但是如果没有亲人和朋友在的话，那他也无法去享受王国。
So then he, you know, he's making these different arguments to Krishna of why he should not fight, even though he's a Kshatriya and he should fight.
于是他就想出了各种各样的这些论点来向 Krishna 论证，就是为什么他不应该去打这场仗，即便他作为刹帝利有职责要这样去做。
And now, in this today's text, he's going to give more reasons why it's not a good idea to fight. And some of these reasons are, you know, very reasonable.
而在今天这个诗节中，Arjuna 就会给到更多的理由来说明为什么他去参加这场战争的话并不是一个好主意。但其实的话，他所讲到的一些原因是非常合理的。
Okay, so let's we'll read the Sanskrit, the word for word, translation and purport.
好，我们就来看着这个梵文的诗节字对字的翻译以及译文和要旨。
And we do have a lot of questions left from last week, so I'll try not to spend too much talking about the purport.
由于上个星期还剩下了不少问题，所以说顾主说他今天的这个讲课尽量少花一点时间在这个要旨的讲解上。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Papam eva shreyed ashman advaitan hatatayina tasman narha vayam hantum dhartarashtran sabandhavanSvajana hi katam hatva sukina shama madhava madhava papam
罪恶
eva
肯定
certainly oh I'm sorry asrayet
会降临
asman
我们
hatva
通过杀死
itan
所有这些
Atatayina,
进犯者
Tasmat,
所以
Na,
永不
Arha,
值得
Vayam,
我们
Huntum,
去杀死
Dhritarashtran,
对他 Rashtra 诸子
Sabandhavan,
和朋友们
Swajana,
族亲
He,
肯定
Katam
如何
Hatva
通过杀死
Sukina
快乐
Shama
将变得
Madhava
幸运女神之夫 Krishna
So that's the meaning of Madhava is the husband of the goddess of fortune
这就是 Madhava 这个名字的意思，就是幸运女神的丈夫 Krishna 的意思。
Okay, translation. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen?
译文，如果我们杀了这些进犯者，罪恶便会降临在我们身上。因此，杀死对他 Rashtra 诸子和我们的朋友是不正当的。幸运女神之父 Krishna 呀，杀死自己的族人，我们能得到什么？又怎能快乐呢？
Okay, purport. According to the Vedic injunction, there are six kinds of aggressors. One, a poison giver. Two,one who sets fire to the house. 3. One who attacks with deadly weapons. 4. One who plunders riches. 5. One who occupies another's land. And 6. One who kidnaps a wife.
要旨，根据伟达训谕，侵犯者有六种：一、投毒者；二、纵火烧屋者；三、以致命武器攻击他人者；四、掠夺别人财富者。五、侵占他人土地者。六、夺人妻者。
Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors.
这些侵犯者需立即被处死，处死这样的侵犯者并没有罪。
Such killing of aggressors is quite befitting an ordinary man, but Arjuna was not an ordinary man.
这对一个普通人来说是很恰当的。然而 ，Arjuna 并不是普通凡人。
He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness.
他品性高洁，因此他想以圣洁的方式解决他们。
This kind of saintliness, however, is not for a kshatriya.
然而，这种圣洁却不适合刹帝利的身份。
Although a responsible man in the administration of a state is required to be saintly, he should not be cowardly.
负有管理国家之大任者固然要圣洁，但切不可怯懦。
For example, Lord Ram was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Ram, Rama Raja, by Lord Ram.But Lord Ram never showed any cowardice.
例如，主 Rama 非常的圣洁，今日之民仍渴望生活在主 Rama 的王国 Rama Raja 里。然而，主 Rama 却没有怯懦的表现。
Ravana was an aggressor against Ram because Ravana kidnapped Ram's wife Sita, but Lord Ram gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world.
Ravana 这个侵犯者抢走了主 Rama 的妻子 Sita， 主 Rama 给了他严厉的教训，是空前绝后的教训。
In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandsons, etc.
在 Arjuna 的情况下，要考虑的却是特殊的侵犯者。这些人是他的长辈、老师、朋友、子孙等。
Oops, I lost my place. Okay. Arjuna thought that he should not take the severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors.
正因为是这些人，所以 Arjuna 不想采取用于对付普通侵犯者的严厉行动。
Besides, oops, did I miss? No, that's right. Okay. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive.
何况圣洁者应以宽容为怀。
Such injunctions for saintly persons.Are more important than any political emergency.
这样的训谕对圣洁者来说远比采取政治上的紧急行动来得重要。
Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it would be better to forgive them on grounds of religion and saintly behavior.
Arjuna 认为，与其以政治上的理由去杀死自己的族人，倒不如以宗教和圣洁的行为宽恕他们。
He did not therefore consider such killing profitable for simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness.
所以他认为为短暂的躯体快乐而大开杀戒是毫无益处的。
After all, kingdoms and pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent. So why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen?
毕竟由此而得到的王国和快乐并不永恒，他何必要冒着生命和永恒的救赎之险去杀害自己的族人呢？
Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is also significant in this connection.
在这里 ，Arjuna 称呼 Krishna 为 Madhava， 幸运女神之夫，也是有用意的。
He wanted to point out to Krishna.That as the husband of the goddess of fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring misfortune.
他想以此向 Krishna 指出，作为幸运女神之夫 ，Krishna 不应该怂恿他去做最终会带来厄运的事。
Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone, to say nothing of his devotees.
然而 ，Krishna 永不会给任何人带来不幸，更何况是自己的奉献者呢
？End of the purport.
要旨结束。
Om Agnatami Vandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale.Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare RamaRama Rama Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha May all living beings be happy.
愿所有的生命体都快乐
May all living beings be free of suffering.
愿所有的生命体都不再受苦
May all living beings awaken and discover their true self and their relationshipWith the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna.
愿所有的生命体都得以觉醒，醒来去发现他们真正的自我，以及他们和 Sri Krishna 之间永恒的关系。
So, in this verse today, Arjuna is giving some logical arguments or reasons why it's not a good idea to have this battle and for him to kill his kinsmen.
在今天这个诗节中 ,Arjuna 就提出了一些非常有逻辑的原因和论点来说明为什么让他去参与这场战争去杀死他的族亲不是一个好主意。
Yeah, so, you know, Arjuna, he doesn't want to fight because he doesn't want to kill his kinsmen, and so he's looking for a good way out.
而 Arjuna 他不想 去杀死他的族亲所以说他在寻找一个好的一个出路
So his first point is he says you know the army on the other side are aggressors so from the legal religious point of view it's legitimate to kill them
Okay, it's legitimate to kill them. 而 Arjuna 他提到的第一个点就是对方的那些军队也就是他的敌人那些也就是侵犯者实际上站在一个宗教的角度来看的话呢是去杀死他们是合理的。
So in the modern Samhita, there's you know, there's a lot of do's and don'ts for human conduct.
是合法的，不是合理的。我刚才纠正一下哈，在这个《马路萨米塔》这本书里面就写到的是关于人类行为，哪些是人类应该做的，哪些是人类不应该做的。
Yeah, so even if you're not a Kshatriya, you know, and that's not your position, if someone's an aggressor towards you, you actually can kill them. In order to protect yourself.
所以即便你不是一位刹帝利，这不是你的这个既定的一个职责，但是如果有人侵犯你的话，那么你都可以去杀死对方，防御自己，这是完全正当的。
Not only that, you will not incur any sinful reaction.
不仅如此，你在这样做的过程中也不会产生任何罪恶的后果。
Yeah, so if your life is threatened by another living being, you can protect yourself even if you have to kill them.
因此如果你的生命受到了另一个生命体的威胁的话，那么你是可以通过杀死对方来保护自己的。
And it mentions there are six kinds of aggressors.
在书里提到了六种侵犯者。
Someone who tries to poison you.
第一种是投毒者。
Someone who tries to burn your house down.
第二种是纵火烧屋者。
Someone who attacks you with deadly weapons.
第三种以致命武器攻击他人。
The one who steals your riches comes into your house, right? And steals your riches.
然后第四种就比如说是进到你的房子里来抢夺你的财富这种类型。
One who occupies your land, you know, somebody's on your land and they won't leave.
然后第五种就是侵占他人的土地者。
And one who kidnaps your wife.
然后最后一种就是夺人妻者。
That just so happened that the Pandavas, you know, they were the sons of Dhritarashtra planned and actually on.Certain occasions, you know, they did burn their house down, they did steal their wife, and they did attack them with deadly weapons.
所以说在这个故事里的话呢，就是对他 Rashtra 诸子，他们也就是设计曾经是去抢夺过潘大巴五兄弟他们的妻子，然后也烧毁过他们的房屋，然后也是以致命的武器攻击了这五兄弟。
Yeah, this all happened before the battle.
然后这些故事都发生在这个库鲁柴卓之战之前。
And still, they try to work out a peace plan.
然而的话呢，潘大伯五兄弟仍然很努力的想要去找到一种和平解决的方法。
But they couldn't compromise.
然而的话呢，对方就是不愿意妥协。
So anyway, technically speaking, it's if you kill such an aggressor, you don't suffer any sinful reaction for that.
所以说严格来说，就是如果你杀死这种类型的这些侵犯者的话，那么你不会因此而引发任何罪恶的业报。
So Arjuna, he's admitting, you know, this army on the other side, they're aggressors, and technically, you know, there's no sin in killing them.
因此阿朱娜在这里就承认到对方就是敌军的话呢，是就是这些类型的侵犯者，然后因此在杀死他们的时候是不会引发任何这个罪恶的结果的。
So that's a normal circumstance.
当然这是这种正常的状况。
But Arjuna is saying, well, this isn't a normal circumstance.
但是阿朱娜却说但是这现在的话却并不是一种正常的状况。
Because they're my relatives.
因为他们是我的亲人。
And also, you know, even though I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a fighter, I'm also a devotee and a saint.
而并且即便我是一位刹帝利，但是的话我也是主的奉献者，我是有这个圣高洁品质的这样一个人。
And this is where I think the purport is especially relevant to us.
因此就从这一点来看，我想这就是为什么这篇要旨和我们是有很大关联的。
Yeah, so Prabhupada says that, you know, forgiveness is not necessarily, something the Kshatriyas have to be that concerned about.
Concerned about. 而帕帕在要旨里就说到，宽容，或者叫宽恕，应该叫宽恕哈。宽恕其实并不是刹帝利所必须具备的品质。
But those who are on the path of bhakti, those who are developing saintly qualities, forgiveness is something that's very important.
然而对于那些走在奉爱之途上的人，对于那些努力培养圣人品质、圣洁品质的人来说，宽恕却是至关重要的。
Yeah, so how we deal with aggressors, we have to consider the time, place, and the circumstance, and what is our position.
因此我们如何来应对进犯者，那么这就取决于我们所处的时间、地点以及状况，当然还有取决于我们所处的位置。
Yeah, so there's a time for forgiveness, and then there's a time for, you know, killing the aggressors.
所以说，这个叫做杀死进犯者有时，然后宽恕进犯者也有时，就是你某些时间是做这个事，某些时间是做那个事。
Yeah, and even if you're a saintly king.
即便你是一个有圣洁品质的国王。
And Prabhupada gave the example of Lord Rama, you know, that he was such a saintly king, and he administered his kingdom so nicely, so fairly, that everyone loved him.
帕帕就在要旨中就提到了主 Rama, 他这位有圣洁品质的国王，然后他如此良好的、如此公平的管理他的王国，以至于人人都热爱他、爱戴他。
But even though he was a saintly king, that didn't mean that he didn't punish aggressors.
而即便主 Rama 是一位有圣洁品质的国王，并不意味着他就不去惩罚进犯者。
In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, actually, it's important to punish aggressors, and that kind of punishment actually represents the Lord.
represents the Lord. 实际上的话，在《薄伽梵歌》中 ，Krishna 就说到过，去惩罚进犯者是非常重要的。实际上，对进犯者的惩罚就代表了主。
Let's see. I think he says of morality, I am.Punishment. Let me see where. So it's chapter 10.
Okay. So this Krishna 说的这段话是在第十章。38, Gumaraj.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just happened to.
How did you find it?
I just turned on the page.
Really? Well, thank you, Super Soul.
第十章38世纪。
Among means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment.
所以大家可以看到第十章的三十八诗节的这个译文，在抑制不法行为的所有方法中，我是惩罚。
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of the health of society, and we think of the, you know, ultimately, you know, what's beneficial for society is peace and law and order is important, and without punishment, you can't have that.
因此当我们站在这个社会的健康发展的这样一个角度来看的时候，就会发现，归根结底最重要的就是和平。那么因此的话，一个国家、一个社会的法律和秩序是至关重要的。而没有惩罚的话，也就无论法律和秩序了。
So this is, again, this is more speaking in general terms, right?
当然，我们在这里谈到的这一点的话呢，是一种概括的一种说法。
But Prabhupada says that Arjuna's case, you know, you could say was had special considerations.
而帕帕就说到，对于 Arjuna 的这个事情来看的话呢，则是需要有这种特殊的考虑。
And the special situation was that these aggressors are actually his grandfather, his teachers, his friends, his cousins.
而他这些特殊的考虑的话，这种特殊状况，那就是他的进犯者是他的长辈，是他的老师、朋友和子孙。
Yeah, so in this situation, perhaps, you know, killing them wasn't the answer.
因此，就这种状况来说，杀死这些亲人朋友可能并不是isn't the right answer, right?
Yeah, maybe this is not the best solution.
因此杀死他们并不是最好的解决方法。
Yeah, so these are all considerations.
而这些都是需要考虑到的。
And then there's another consideration that is especially applicable to us.
而另一个需要考虑到的点，而这一点对于我们来说是非常可以运用的。
Yeah, the special consideration is if you're a saintly person or you're aspiring to be a saintly person.
而这要考虑的一点就是，如果你是一个有圣洁品质的人，或者你是在努力的去培养圣洁的品质的话。
So if you're a saintly person or if you're an aspiring saintly person, it's very important to cultivate forgiveness.
因此如果你具有圣洁的品质，或者你在努力培养圣洁品质，那么宽恕这种品格的话呢，则是至关，就培养宽恕的这种品格是至关重要的。
Yeah, Prabhupada says that this cultivation of forgiveness for saintly persons is more important than any political emergency.
所以帕帕在要旨中就说到，培养这种圣洁的培养这种宽恕的品质，对于圣洁者来说，远比采取政治上的紧急行动来得重要。
Yeah, so the cultivation of forgiveness. You know, of letting go of resentments and forgiving those that have harmed us is actually the best thing we can do for ourselves.
Okay, best thing for ourselves. 实际上，宽恕也就是指我们愿意去放手内心的怨恨感，然后去原谅那些曾经伤害我们的人。这一点的话呢，对于我们来说，对我们自己来说，实际上是最好的事情。
Yeah, so basically, you know, generally, when somebody harms us, they do something that's not right.
总的来说，当一个人在伤害我们的时候，他所做的事情是不对的事情。
Right, maybe they commit adultery.
也许对方是这个 adultery, 就是比如说外遇啊等等。
Maybe they steal from us.
或者是偷窃，把我们所拥有的某些东西给偷走了。
You know, why is it important to forgive?
那么为什么去原谅对方是如此重要的事情呢？
After all, we could kill them if we want to, and we won't even, you know, suffer a sinful reaction.
因为毕竟我们可以去杀死这样的一个人的，因为这样去做，就是杀死这些侵犯者的话呢，是杀死这些伤害我们的人的话呢，是不会造成任何这种罪恶的反应的。
I remember once I was on book distribution. I was, you know, very young, maybe I was 20, 21 years old. It was only a couple of years after I got initiated.
Sorry, what's the last sentence, Gurumaj?
One time I was out on book distribution in Japan. And I had locked my book bag up to this pole, and I had my japa beads in the bag.
Okay. Guru 就说到，他想起曾经就是他 在二十岁、二十一岁左右的时候，很年轻的时候，在日本去，当时去进行一次派书，然后那个时候他就站在一根这个路杆的这个路灯杆的旁边，然后他就把他的那个这个派书的袋子，然后系在了这个杆子上，然后里面还有他的Japa的念珠呢。
And that day, I was distributing lots of books, and I was very pleased with myself.
然后那天不是说那天就是我派了很多书出去，然后我对自己感到很开心呢。
Devotee false ego.
自己就是奉献者的假我了。
And I came back, and my bag is gone.
然后等到我回来的时候，我系在那个杆子上的袋子就不见了。
And it had my initiation beads, the beads the proper chanted on.
然后袋子里还有我的那个启迪念珠呢，然后那个念珠还是帕帕在启迪我的时候念过的念珠。
And I was so upset.
然后我真的太难过，然后太生气了。
I was so angry.
然后非常非常的生气。
And I was sending out all kinds of evil thoughts to whoever, you know, stole that bag.
然后那一刻我就向那个偷了我的这个包的这个人，然后发送出了许多许多这种罪恶的念头。
Yeah, so you know, why was I so angry?
那我为什么会这么生气呢？
Because I felt that, you know, I had been assaulted, right? When somebody steals from you, you feel like it's a direct attack upon you.
因为我当时就感到自己被袭击了。因为当一个人要是把你的什么东西给偷走了的话，那你就会觉得这是对你的一种直接的攻击。
Yeah, well, who is this you?
然而这个你是谁呢？
Well, it's the person I imagined I was.
而这个你就是我所想象的那个我。
I'm special.
我很特别啊。
How dare anyone steal from me?
怎能有人胆敢来这个偷我的东西呢？
Yeah, so this me feels injured.
于是这个我就感到受伤了。
And therefore, when we feel hurt,We, in order to protect ourselves, we naturally feel angry.
因此，当我们感到受伤的时候，自然的就会产生一种愤怒感，想要来保护自己。
And then Krishna says, when you become angry, then you lose your intelligence and you fall deeper into identification with this false me.
Deeper identification with this false me.而 Krishna 就说过，当我们就是愤怒的时候，就会失去智力，然后就更深的陷入到对这个虚假的我的认同之中。
And ultimately, it's this false me that's caught in the cycle of birth and death.
OK, 而归根结底的话呢，正是这个虚假的我，然后才陷入到生死轮回之中的这个循环之中。
Yeah, as long as the soul is identified with the false ego, then it has to continue in the cycle of birth and death.
而只要灵魂还认同于这个虚假的我，那么就会继续困在这个生死轮回的这个循环之中。
I heard this story, person, a friend of mine, not a devotee actually, but she was in France and she was living there and she had ordered a new bed from a custom-made bed.
OK, 所以我就听到过这样一个故事。我的一个朋友，他不是奉献者，然后有一段时间他就居住在法国，然后当时他住在那里的时候，就去定制了这种量身为他定做的一张新床。
And so because it was a custom-made bed, she had to pay a lot of money for it.
由于是定制的，因此的话，他就得花很多钱。来去买下那个为他量身定做的床。
And then when the bed was delivered and put together, there were a lot of things that weren't right with it.
然后等到那个那艘床，然后那张床，然后被送到他家，然后被这个安装好以后的话，他就发现有很多地方都完全不对劲。
And she started to feel really angry, like, oh, this person cheated me.
然后他就开始感到非常的愤怒，就觉得是这个卖他床的这个人就骗了他。
Yeah, this bed isn't made according to our agreement.
因为这张床并不是根据他们俩之前所这个设定的协议，这个合约来被这个制造出来的。
Yeah, so the more she looked at the bed and the more she thought about the situation, the angrier she became.
于是她越是去看着这张床，越是去思考整个这个状况，就变得越发的愤怒。
Right, and she was sending all kinds of evil thoughts to the shop owner.
然后她也是开始朝着那个店铺的老板，然后散发出了许多罪恶的念头。
And then she thought to herself, gosh, what should I do with this anger? This is not good.
然后她就在想，那我该怎么来这个解决我的这个愤怒感呢？这可不好啊。
So she said, well, the best thing, what I should do is I should just go tell this lady, you know, at the bed shop, you know, how I'm feeling.
然后她就想，好吧，那我能做的最好的事儿，我应该去做的就是去到这个店里面，然后去跟这个卖家，然后好好的表达一下我的感受。
Yeah, so she went to the bed shop and she saw the owner.
然后她就去到了这个店铺里，然后见到了店家。
And the first thing she began to tell the shop owner was how she felt.
然后她对这个卖家说的第一句话，那就是她的感受。
And so she said to the shop owner, I'm feeling so angry.
然后他就对对方说，我真的感到太生气了，我感到太生气了。
And the shop owner said, you're feeling so angry?
然后这个卖家就回过头来就说，你感到很生气啊。
And she answered, yes, I am.
然后我这个朋友就回答道，是啊，我很生气呢。
And then the shop owner answered, oh, this is not good for you. You should give it up.
然后那店家就回答道，哦，这可不太好了，这对你来说可不太好了，那你得赶紧的，放弃这种愤怒感啊。
I think the Buddha said that anger is like a burning ember that you want to pick up and throw at somebody, but as soon as you pick it up, you've already burned your hand.
A burning what?
A burning ember, you know, like some log that's been burning. It's red hot.
Okay.
You want to hit somebody with it, so you pick it up with your own hand and throw it at them.
And burn yourself first. 其实我记得在这个佛教里面就有这样一句话，就是说愤怒就像是一颗就像是一根在燃烧着的木头。当你抓起这个在燃烧的木头，想要丢向某个人的时候，丢向你非常愤怒的那个人的时候，实际上你反而先把自己给烫着了，给烧着了。
Yeah, so for anyone who's on the path of bhakti or spiritual awakening, we don't want to cultivate and maintain anger and resentment and hurt.
因此对于走在 bhakti 之路上的人，或者是对于致力于灵性觉醒的人来说，我们并不想要去培养或者是维系愤怒感、怨恨感，或者是被伤害的感觉。
Yes, it's actually spiritual suicide.
实际上，维系这些负面的感受，只是算作是灵性上的自杀。
Yeah, it's not possible to awaken love for Krishna and at the same time be hating somebody.
所以说既能够去唤醒自己对 Krishna 的爱，同时的话呢还在孜孜不倦的去怨恨着憎恨着某个人，这是不可能发生的。
Yeah, so sometimes, especially our ego thinks that forgiveness means that what the person did that hurt us is okay.
而有些时候我们的假我会认为宽恕是什么， 宽恕或叫原谅，那就是那个伤害过我的人对我所做的事情是 OK 的，是可以没问题的。
Yeah, so actually forgiving someone who harmed us does not mean that we are condoning their behavior or that it was proper or that it didn't hurt us.
嗯，我要 condoning 哈，嗯。
Not saying that it was proper or okay.
Mm. Oh, basically means that, oh, okay, means forgive that person. Mm.
Yeah, 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 just because we forgive them doesn't mean that what they did was right, or it doesn't mean that it didn't hurt us.
Mm, okay. Oh, 而实际上的话呢，原谅对方，原谅一个伤害过我们的人，并不意味着就是我们认为他所做的事情是可以被接受的，或者是认为他所做的事情是对的，或者是认为他并没有伤害到我们。这刚才说到的三种情况都并不是属于真正的原谅。
That's not the reason we choose to forgive, and it's a choice.
嗯，而这些并不是我们选择原谅的原因，而是我们所做出的选择。
Actually, to make this choice of forgiveness, you have to come to higher consciousness, which is a good thing if you're on the path of spiritual awakening.
嗯嗯，实际上，原谅是我们所做出的选择，而当我们选择要原谅另一个人的时候，就必须到达更高的知觉。而对于走在灵性觉醒之路上的我们来说，去走到达更高的知觉的话呢，去选择原谅对方，只是非常好的一件事。
So the reason we forgive is actually because it's good for ourselves.
嗯，因此我们选择原谅的原因，便是因为原谅对我们自己来说是有益处的。
Yeah, what we're doing is we're choosing. We're saying, I don't want to hold this feeling of resentment toward this person anymore because it's killing me.
嗯，我们选择原谅另一个人的原因就在于我不想继续紧抓住对这个人的怨恨之情不放手，我不想再继续紧抓住不放手了，因为这种感受真的是让我太难受了。
Yeah, so the first step in forgiveness is our intention is to forgive or to let go of resentment we're holding towards this other person because it's the best thing for me.
嗯 ，best thing for me. 嗯，因此的话，我们在做出原谅或宽恕的第一步，那就是我们的这个选择去原谅的意图，是因为想要去放手对另一个人的怨恨感和愤怒感和被伤害的感觉。因为当我们放手这些负面情绪的时候，对我们自己来说是最好的事。
So once you've made the decision that you don't want to hold this resentment towards this other person because it's killing you, then you can take the next step.
嗯，而当你做出这样一个决定，选择不愿继续紧抓住这些负面情绪不放手的话，因为这些负面情绪真的是让你非常的煎熬，非常的痛苦，那么此时当你做了这个决定之后，你就开始做出第二步了。
Then you have to honestly contemplate the human condition of life.
嗯 ，condition of life. OK. 而接下来你要做的第二步，便是诚实的去沉思一下这个人生的human condition of life。生命的这个人类，嗯，那就是去沉思一下这个人类的状况。
Right, the human condition is fallible. It's not perfect. It's imperfect.
人类的状况，或者应该翻译成叫做人性的状况。而人性的话呢，本来就是不完美的，本来就是易犯错的。
That's what unites us as human beings. We're all imperfect. That is what unites us. That is what connects us, actually, as humans, is that we're all imperfect.
而这就是把我们所有人连接起来、统一起来的原因所在，那就是我们都是人类，我们作为人类都是不完美的。
Right, on that level, we can relate to each other.
而在这个基于这个层面的话呢，我们就可以来理解彼此了。
And then we have to, and you've all heard me mention this many times, but we have to contemplate the five human faults.
然后大家肯定也听过我说到很多次了，那就是我们都需要去沉思一下人类的五种缺陷。
And if you can admit those five faults within yourself, then you can begin to feel compassion towards yourself and towards other human beings that are suffering from the same conditions.
而当你能得以去承认你自己也具有这五种人类缺陷的话，那么此时你就可以开始对自己心生同情、怜悯之心，并且对其他遭受同样缺陷的人类人的话呢，也能心生同情、怜悯之心。
Yeah, so these five imperfections influence practically every decision we make.
而这五种人类缺陷，基本上就影响着我们所做出的每一个决定。
We're ignorant.
第一点就是我们是无知的，
We're unconscious.
我们是没有知觉的，
We're selfish.
我们非常自私，
We're afraid.
我们很害怕，
And we crave to be loved.
并且我们渴求能够被爱。
And usually it's one of these factors or all the factors that influence the choices we make.
而往往的话呢，都是这五种缺陷当中的一种，或者是全部，这整个五个缺陷都在影响着我们所做出的决定。
Yeah, so I got angry at this person that stole my bag that had my beads in it, right?
我刚才讲到的那个故事，就是我很生气那个偷了我的包裹，然后我的包包里面还装了我的加帕念珠的那个人。
Yeah, so I was ignorant, I was unconscious, identified with the false me.
然后当时的我很无知，没有知觉，完全认同于那个虚假的我。
I was selfish.
我也很自私。
And also, I was stupid for, leaving my bee bags there.
当然，那时的我的话呢，也非常的蠢，就是竟然把自己的包给系在这个电灯杆上。
Right, so I could actually just blame myself.
所以实际上我应该去埋怨一下自己，责备一下自己才是。
The point is that as a spiritual practitioner, we have to cultivate compassion, and we have to give up resentment, just like it's, we've gone to the toilet or something.
OK，因此我要说的点就是，我们作为灵性的修习者，就需要去培养同情、怜悯之心，并且能够去放手这些怨恨感和被伤害的感觉。就像而这些放手这些负面情绪的话呢，就有点像是上了一次厕所一样，上了厕所以后，然后自然而然的一切就排空了。
So it's important for us to, cultivate Vaikuntha consciousness.
因此的话，对我们来说，培养外昆塔知觉是至关重要的。
Yeah, so we see ourselves and others as parts and parcels of Krishna.
我们能够真正的去看到自己和其他的生命体都是 Krishna 的一部分。
So that doesn't mean, that we allow someone us to abuse us or to abuse others, or we don't say something.
当然，这并不意味着就是我们允许另一个人来伤害我们或者伤害别人。然后，Sorry, what's the last part? Allow them to harm ourselves and others.
Or we don't allow others to abuse us or to abuse others.
OK， 所以说其实这并不意味着我们就允许另一个人来虐待我们，然后或者伤害我们，或者是伤害其他人。
But instead of responding out of anger from our false ego, we are responding from compassion.
From compassion. 然而，与其我们基于假我来对这样的伤害的行径，然后以愤怒来回应，然而与其我们基于假我来以愤怒回应这样的行径，那么不如我们能够基于同情怜悯之心来对之做出回应。
Yeah, so this is the path of saintly consciousness.
而这就是圣洁的知觉的圣洁的知觉之路。
So, you know, one thing about Maya is that when we hold on to anger and we hold on to resentment, we suffer.
Sorry, Guruji, what's the first sentence I didn't hear?
Yeah, the beautiful arrangement of Maya is that when we live in Maya, when we hold on to resentment and we hold on to anger, we suffer.
Okay. 而 Maya 的这个关于 Maya 的非常漂亮的安排之一，那就是当我们活在 Maya 之中，当我们紧紧抓住怨恨感和愤怒感不放手的时候，我们就会为此而受苦。
Yeah, so the suffering causes us to want to come to our real consciousness to wake up.
而我们所遭受的痛苦便会使得我们想要真正的醒来，想要到达真正的觉知。
Yeah, so this burning ember that's burning our hand, you know, eventually will cause us to drop it.
因此我们手里所紧紧抓住的这根燃烧的木头，就是刚才讲到的那个佛教里面的那种那个比喻，我们手里所紧紧抓住的这根燃烧着的木头，最终就会使得我们主动的去放手这根木头，丢弃这根木头。
Yeah, so as long as we hold on to the resentment, really we're in hell.
所以只要我们还紧抓住怨恨不放手，那么实际上我们真的就是活在地狱之中。
But when we let it go, then we'll find, oh my God, suddenly I'm in Vaikuntha.
而当我们真的放手这些怨恨感，那么立刻就会觉得，哇，原来，我现在我就处在这个外昆塔了。
Vaikuntha was so close, but so far.
外昆塔真的是咫尺，远在天涯，是这样说的吗？近在咫尺，远在天涯。
I just couldn't see it. I just had to hold on to this resentment.
然而我就是看不到离自己这么近的外昆塔，然后我就只是紧抓住这些怨恨感不放手，然后而为此受苦。
Yeah, so these are legitimate considerations, you know, that Arjuna is mentioning to Krishna.
所以说今天所说的这个要旨当中，Arjuna 所提到的这些论点的话呢，真的都是非常合理合法的这些论点呢。
Yeah, from the conventional point of view, it's okay to kill aggressors and there's no sin.
从这种社会的一个伦理或者叫做这个规范来看的话呢，去杀死侵犯者是可以的，是不会由此而产生任何罪恶业报的。
But for one who wants to awaken spiritually, forgiveness and compassion are more important.
而对于想要在灵性上觉醒的人来说，宽恕和同情怜悯之心则是至关重要的。
Yeah, so ultimately, we haven't gotten to this point, but ultimately for the devotee, it's to surrender to whatever Krishna wants.
Surrender to whatever Krishna wants. 而归根结底的话，我们作为奉献者，便是要去臣服于 Krishna 想要的任 Krishna 的任何一个意愿 ，Krishna 想要发生的任何一件事儿。当然，我们还没有到达这样的一个阶段。
Yeah. So even if Krishna wants us to kill the aggressors, we can do that. But we have to do it in Vaikuntha consciousness, not out of our false ego.
因此，如果 Krishna 想要我们去杀死进犯者，那么我们也必须是以一种外昆塔知觉来杀死侵犯者，而不是基于我们的假我来杀死对方。
Yeah, so not out of anger,
因此并不是基于愤怒来去杀死对方。
Yeah, but we sometimes we have to punish aggressors. It's important, you know, in order to maintain, in order to protect everyone.
有些时候我们必须要去这个杀死进犯者，因为这对于保护和维系其他人来说是非常重要的。
Yeah, but what is the consciousness when we're acting? That's what's important.
然而我们在这样去做的时候，是基于怎样的知觉来去采取这样的行动的呢？这才是真正关键的所在。
Are we acting out of illusion, or are we acting in full consciousness, awakened consciousness?
我们是这个基于觉醒的知觉来这样做的呢，还是完全是在幻觉幻象之中才这样去做的？
Okay, so we'll start answering questions and listening to sharings, and I have about half an hour left.
好，所以顾如说现在他正课讲完了，然后我们就一起来看一看上个星期剩下的问题和大家的分享。然后因为今天顾如他家里有事，所以就只有半个小时，还剩下半个小时的时间。Okay, Guru Maharaj, let'slook at the previous what's left from last week. 我们来看看上个星期讲到了哪儿。这里第一个是 Vishakha Devidasi Mataji 所分享的不如喜欢的这首宁静的祈祷文。 Krishna, 请给予我耐心去接受我不能改变的事，给我勇气去改变我能改变的事，给我智慧去知晓这两者之间的区别。这是顾鲁上个星期讲到的。Yeah, so Vishakha here is sharing. She's typing basically what you have mentioned last week about the serenity, that prayer. So Krishna, please give me the patience to accept what I cannot change. Give me courage to change what I can change, and give me wisdom to know the difference between.
Yeah. That's from AA.
或者说这首灵性的祈祷文是来自于 AA 协会的。AA 协会就是一个全球的匿名戒酒者的一个协会。
So I don't know exactly where it originates from, but I know they use that prayer in AA.
所以说我不知道这首祷文最初是来自于哪，但是我知道它就是主要是被运用在这个 AA 的戒酒协会里的。
Anyway, I interrupted. I didn't hear everything Vishakha wanted to say, right?
No, that's it. She's just typing it there for everyone to see.
Sharing. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention again, because it's an amazing, it's definitely, you know, Vaikuntha consciousness.
Guru 说谢谢Vishakha所这个再次的这个分享，然后再次让Guru去注意到这首祷文，因为Guru 说这绝对就是Vaikuntha之觉了。
Yeah, Krishna consciousness.
也就是 Krishna 之觉了。
No anxiety.
没有焦虑。
Pure consciousness.
纯粹的知觉。
Transcendental platform.
超然的层面，对，超然的层面。
Okay. Thank you, Vishakha.
谢谢 Vishakha. Okay, next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看上个星期剩下第二个 Varadai Swara Mataji， 我应该念对了啊。顶拜老师的莲花族，我们生活的地区比别的地区贫穷，是我们所有人的共业吗？然后他继续问道。别的地区待遇都很好，而我们地区应有的待遇都没有，政府没钱，这是什么原因？用 Krishna 知觉怎样理解？ Okay, so this Mataji is offering her business onto your lotus feet, and she's saying that the area that we are living in is poorer than other areas. Is that the collective karma of us who live there? So that's her first question. And the second one, is the other areas have a better treatment. And however, our area has no treatment as such, and the government has no money. So what is the reason for that? How to understand that's in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, there are no accidents, right? So yeah, you can look at it in terms of a collective karma.
嗯，是的，这个世上没有这种偶然的偶然发生的事情，没有偶然。因此的话，你可以基于这种共业的角度来看待这样的状况。
Yeah, so we have our individual karma, this mind and body.
嗯，我们都有这个自己的业报，那就是我们所拥有的这具身体和这个心意。
And then we have our collective karma, you know, that's reflected by, you know, where we live and the society we're in.
嗯，并且的话，我们也有集体的这个业报，而集体的业报便反映在我们所出生的地方和我们所生活的这个社会。
And then there's, you know, the human karma where we all have these, you know, same five defects.
嗯，然后的话呢，我们还有作为人类所共有的业报，那就是刚才我所提到的这个五种人性的缺陷。
You know, some people live in very pleasant climates with abundant, you know, food and water and. Seemingly no material difficulties.
嗯，有些人是活在这种生活在这种非常良好的气候之中，享受着非常富足的食物啊，然后干净的水源呐、啊，然后看起来他们好像在物质上是没有遭受任何痛苦的。
Yeah, and, you know, some people are living where there's civil wars and all kinds of.Unspeakable tragedy going on.
嗯，而另外有些人是活在这种战乱纷飞的国土之上，然后遭受着各种各样根本都无法被述说的这些悲剧。
Yeah, so it's very complex.
因此的话，这是非常复杂的。
Okay.
Okay, that's it. She's asking me how to understand the situation in Krishna consciousness.
Well, you know, Krishna consciousness means, you know, that the human life is, you know, sometimes it's said, you know, in human life you experience 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, and it's all temporary.
Oh, 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows and so on.而用 Krishna 知觉来理解这样的状况的话呢，您提到的这个问题，那 Guru 他就说到，对于人类生活来说，有些时候人类可以体验到一万种喜悦，而有些时候人类可以体验到一万种悲伤，而所有的这些喜悦和悲伤的话呢，都是短暂易逝的。
No one is free of birth, death, old age, and disease.
没有任何一个人能够从生死、生老病死的这个轮回之中，可以不受生老病死的影响的。
So you might live in a very pleasant cell of a prison, but you're still in prison.
所以说的话呢，就比如如果你住在一个监狱里，但是这个监狱里面的这个牢房却是装修的异常豪华，然后奢侈。但是不管它装修的再怎么美好，你仍然是活在监狱里的。
Or your prison cell may be quite horrible.
然后或者是你所住的这个牢房的话呢，状况非常非常的糟糕。
But we're all imprisoned, we're all forced to undergo birth, death, old age, and disease.
嗯，然而的话呢，无论如何，我们都是住在这个监狱之中，然后都必须得去经历生老病死的这个必然的循环。
And the suffering is meant to awaken us spiritually, so that we want to go to the spiritual dimension.
嗯，而我们所遭受的所有的这些痛苦，便旨在去唤醒我们，旨在在灵性上唤醒我们，使得我们有动力想要去进入到灵性的维度之中。
And Krishna explains that if you can awaken, even while you still have, you know, a material body, even though you're still in the prison, when you discover your true self, you experience joy and freedom.
嗯嗯哦， 而 Krishna 也说过，那么即便你还有这样一具物质躯体，但是如果你能得以醒来的话，在灵性上醒来，那么即便你还有这样一具物质躯体，你都会能够去体验到喜悦和自由。
Look at chapter 5 verse 23.
我们一起来看一下《薄伽梵歌》第五章的二十三诗节。
Saknotihaiva ya shodham shodjun praksalida vimokshanat kama krodo vayam vegam sayukta sa sukinara sukinara means happy human。
所以这个 5.23 的最后的两个梵文词 Sukinara 也就是指快乐的人类的意思。
Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world.
5.23 译文，在离开现世躯体之前，人若能经受住物质感官的强烈冲动，克制住欲望与嗔怒，便会泰然安处，快乐于世。
So the kingdom of God, you know, the spiritual world is actually within our heart.
因此的话，神的王国或者是叫做灵性世界，实际上是处在我们的心灵之中的。
We are eternal members of the spiritual world.
我们是灵性世界的永恒会员，永恒的一部分。
Now, if we find that within ourselves, even though we're in the material world, we can experience, you know, transcendental joy and not be overwhelmed by the suffering.
而如果我们能在自己的内在之中找到灵性世界，找到神的王国，那么即便我们仍然身处在物质世界里，都能够体验到超然的喜悦，而不会让痛苦完全的压倒我们。
Then our suffering actually turns to compassion.
而后的话，我们所受到的痛苦便会转变成同情怜悯之心。
We're kind of living in both worlds. On the one hand, we always have access to the eternal joy within ourselves. That's Vaikuntha, that's Krishna Loka.
Krishna Loka. 所以说我们总是能够活在两个世界里，一方面我们总是能够在内在中随时触碰到连接到永恒的自我，那就是 Vaikuntha。那就是怀昆塔，也就是 Krishna Loka。
And at the same time, we're still very concerned, and we feel the pain of others, and we feel compassion for them.
feel compassion. 而另一方面的话，我们仍然是非常在意身边的人，或者整个这个世界上其他的人，在意他们，关心他们的这个所遭受的痛苦，能够感受到能够去对。将心比心的切身的感受到他们的痛苦，能够真正对他们生发出同情怜悯之心。
So we work for the enlightenment of all living beings.
因此我们便致力于所有生命体的开悟。
Out of compassion.
出于我们的同情心。
Okay,
next one. 我们来看之前的接下来问题。Ratna Mala Mataji 问 Hare Krishna 顶拜 Guru 顶拜翻译，我不敢当，因为素食经常遭到亲戚朋友的打击和讽刺，一种生物是另一种生物的食物，都知道这就是所有人认为的要吃肉。我的问题是，这840万生物主创造出来的就是要为进化到人类体才创造的吗？感恩 Guru 的解答，顶拜您的莲花足。 OK, so this Mataji here is offering her obeisances, and she's asking that because of her vegetarian lifestyle, that she usually got sarcasm and personal attack from her friends and her relatives, because it's a common knowing that one type of living entity is the food of another type of living entity. So this is why everyone thinks that, almost everyone thinks that humans should consume it, meat. So my question is, the 8,040,000 types of living beings that are created by the Lord are meant for purifying our consciousness in order to reach the human body, human form. So that's the reason why those 8 million life living entities were created. Is that so? Thank you for your answer.
Well, okay. There's different perspectives we can look at this from.
我们可以用不同的视角来看待您提到的问题。
Yeah, so Krishna, yeah, he has created all these different forms of life.
是的，主他创造出了所有这些不同种类的这些生物体。
And the Bhagavatam and the Vedas also say that one living being is food for another.
并且博迦瓦坛和韦达经中也提到，一种生物是另一种生物的食物。
Of course, the animals they follow a very strict diet. They don't deviate from nature.
当然，动物的话呢是非常严格的遵循他们的饮食习惯的，他们是不会偏离自然大自然为他们设定的这个饮食的这种类型的。
Yeah, and in this way, nature functions in a very balanced way.
那么以这种的方式，以这样的方式，大自然便是以一种非常平衡的方式在运作着。
And we can see that consciousness evolves through the different species of life. And each higher species of life can exhibit a little bit higher consciousness.
并且我们也能看到知觉。是这个不断的通过不同的生命形式而进化着的，不同的这个生物种群的话呢，也就具有不同的这种知觉状态。当然，这种越高的这种生物种群形体的话，也就意味着个体灵魂能够得以展现出更高的知觉状态，相比起前一种的话。
So, of course, in the human being.The consciousness can completely manifest itself.
而在人体形式中，人类形体中，人类形式中，知觉就能完全的展现它自身。
So animals generally do not perceive the suffering of the living being they're consuming.
Sorry, who are consuming?
Well, the animals, right? Like a tiger. If a tiger is eating a deer, it's just thinking, I have to eat, and it's not considering what the deer is experiencing. It cannot understand the suffering of another.
I see. 所以说，总的来说的话呢，当动物在这个就说是这种。动物在，比如说举个例子，就像一头老虎，当一头老虎要吃掉一头梅花鹿的时候，老虎是不可能够去感知得到梅花鹿在经历着什么的，它相当于是完全无法去理解梅花鹿所遭受的痛苦。
Yeah, so animals are, you know, they just selfishly do whatever they need for themselves, and they don't consider anyone else except for maybe their immediate family.
因此的话，动物只是非常自私的去照顾到他们自己的需求，然后而不会去考虑到任何其他生命体。当然，这个有些动物的话呢，会是这个除了他们的这个直接的亲人，相当于就是父母啊，或者是子女啊等等的，除了这一类的话。
And just like you know.A male lion, right? If he wants to mate with another female, but she has children from another male, he'll kill all the children so that she won't breastfeed, so that she'll come into heat, so that he can mate with her.
Okay. 所以说我们都知道，在这个狮子这种种群之中的话，如果一头雄狮想要这个繁衍后代，那么他想要和一头雌狮 这个一头母狮子然后交配，那么他就会把这头母狮子和另一头雄狮所生的那些小狮子们给杀死，然后这样的话呢，这个母狮才不会去忙着去哺育小狮子，然后从而能够会发情，然后那么这个母狮子会发情的话呢，才会和这头雄狮交配。
Yeah, if you or I, you know, we found a new partner who already had children, and we said, well, you know, before we can become partners, we have to kill your children.
Would,
for human beings, that's not acceptable, right?
然后因此，如果是同样的状况发生在人类之中，这是绝对不可能被接受的，对吧？就像是如果我想要去跟另一个人在一起生活的话，然后我就跟另一个人，我们俩可能彼此曾经有自己的家庭，然后我就把对方的这些小孩给杀了，然后他把我之前的那些小孩给杀了，然后我们俩组成家庭，这是不可能能够会在人类社会当中被接受的这样一种现象，一种做法。
Of course, you know, some human beings are on such a low level of consciousness and are so selfish that they would even do that.
当然的话呢，有些人类的话，由于处在非常低的知觉状态中，然后极度的自私，因此他们也很有可能会做出这样的事情。
Yeah, so the more advanced we are in consciousness, the more we are unwilling to cause suffering to others and try to avoid it as best we can.
因此的话，如果我们越是在知觉上进步，就越是不愿意去给其他的生命体制造出痛苦，我们会尽最大努力的去避免给其他生物体造成痛苦。
And of course, the higher the form, the more suffering there is.
当然的话呢，就是这个生命体的生命体形式是越高级的话，那么个体灵魂所遭受的痛苦就是越多的。
Yeah, so if the form has eyes and ears and a face, it's going to suffer a lot if you kill it and eat it.
因此的话呢，如果一个生命形式有眼睛、有耳朵、有一张脸的话，然后当人类去杀死这样的生命形式的时候，就是为了吃掉它，那么这样的生命形式，就是居住在这种生命形式当中的这些个体灵魂就会受到极大的痛苦。
Yeah. So generally speaking, any spiritual practitioner that's on the path of awakening avoids as best as one can causing suffering to other living beings.
因此话，总的来说，任何一个走在灵性觉醒上的灵性修习者来说，他们会尽最大努力来避免对其他的生命体造成痛苦。
Now, from the bhakti perspective, we have even other reasons.
而站在 bhakti 的角度来看，我们甚至还有别的理由。
The Krishna wants us to offer what we eat to him first.
Krishna 想要让我们把我们要吃的东西首先供奉给他。
So that he can bless it and help us.
那么这样的话， Krishna 接受我们的供奉，便能够去祝福我们做出来的食物，然后从而来帮助我们。
And so that we can experience a loving relationship.
这样的话，我们就可以体验到和 Krishna 之间充满爱的关系了。
And so he tells us what we can offer to him and what we can't.
然后他就告诉我们哪些是我们可以供奉给他的，而哪些是不能够的。
Yeah, and so he doesn't ask for animal sacrifices.
因此的话，他没有要求我们对他进行。动物的供奉。
Okay, I hope that's good enough.
我希望这样的回答能够帮到你。Okay, next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看 next one is a reflection and sharing. 下一个这位佛小这位奉献者说话之前的一个准备，这个 think 对 think 的每个字母都有个含义嘛。第一个这个 T 代表的就是你和对方说的话是真实的吗？第二个 H 代表的就是你所说的话对对方有帮助吗？第三个就是 I 你对你说的话是否能给予别人灵感和鼓舞。第四个 N 代表的就是你是不是真的有必要去说这些话。然后第五个 K 也就是指一个人是否你说的话是否出于仁慈和善意呢？谢谢佛晓这位奉献者的这个分享。So this analogy here is sharing, just writing down what you have taught, what you have said last week about the think, T for true, H for helpful, I for inspiration, and N for necessary, and K for kind.
Thank you very much for reminding us. It's a great acronym.
谢谢您再次的提醒我们去聊去注意到这样的一个准则，然后这确实是一个非常棒的一个说话为人处事的准则。
Yeah, so these tools help us to grow up spiritually and not just remain immature devotees.
而这个准则的话就像是工具一样，能够帮助我们在灵性上得以成长，而不是继续作为一个不成熟的奉献者。
Okay, thank you.
好，谢谢你。 Okay, next one.
Yeah.
好，我们来看下一个。手机 YY 新人说，国家梵歌在物质世界显现的主的宇宙形象概念是虚构的，为了使缺乏智慧的人初级灵修者能逐渐接受主有形体的概念，但实际上主没有物质形体。想请问咕噜，这段话说主是虚构的，那我们念诵呀还有其他法门的各种方法，是不是都是为了让我们心专注一处，觉察我们的起心动念，或者还有自律生活，比如不吃荤，慢慢把我们蒙尘胎后的心擦干净，人就解脱了。至于灵性天空也都是虚构的，对吗？念诵和洁净生活两条腿并行，缺一不可，对吗？请顾赐教。 OK, here this devotee is saying that the Bhagavatam describes that the Lord's universal form in the material world, manifesting in the material world, is fictional. The reason why there's a Lord's universal form is meant for those people who lack wisdom and intelligence, meaning the elementary spiritual practitioners, to gradually accept the concept that the Lord has a form. However, the Lord does not have a material form. So my question is that here, this part of Bhagavatam says that the Lord is a fictional. Then the chanting we are doing,and all the other spiritual practices of other spiritual groups or things like that are all meant for us to concentrate, to focus our consciousness, to be aware of our thoughts and emotions, and also to have self-discipline in living our life, such as not eating meat. So gradually, this will purify our heart.Covered by dust, and afterwards people will get liberation. And even for like spiritual sky, these kind of things are also fictional, right? So we just have to do both the chanting and the purifying lifestyle, and both of them are very important, right? I think that's a second question.
What was the first question?
The first question is thatbasically, he says that Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam says that the Lord's form is fictional. And then the chanting we are doing and all the other spiritual practices are just meant for being consciousness of our thoughts and living life in self-discipline. However, even spiritual sky is fictional, right? So he's saying that the Lord's form
is... The first question is the spiritual sky fictional?
Yeah, is spiritual sky also fictional? He said that, so.
Well, in one sense, everything is the form of the Lord because everything, you know, expands from him.
从一个角度来说， 所有的事物都是主的形体，因为所有的事物万事万物都是自主扩展而来的。
Yeah, so the beginning level of spiritual realization, the Lord's universal form is described so that we can begin to appreciate, not imagine, but appreciate the presence of the Lord in everything.
The presence of the Lord in everything. 因此的话呢，对于灵性觉悟的初级阶段的人来说，经典描述到主的宇宙形体，其目的是为了让我们得以去欣赏，得以去感恩，而不是去想象主他在万事万物当中的临在。
Yeah, so the basic level is to accept that there's a higher power and I'm not the higher power. There's a higher power than me.
因此的话呢，最基本的一点就是有这个更高的力量存在，而我并不是更高的力量。
Right, so if you see a beautiful painting,
就比如说如果你看到一幅很漂亮的画，
and you really appreciate that painting,
你真的很欣赏这幅画当中所展现出来的美，
you begin to also appreciate the artist.
那么此时你自然也会开始去欣赏创作这幅画的这个画家了。
And you don't see them as separate.
你不会认为这个画家和这幅画是相分离的，你不会相分离的来看这两者。
So they're simultaneously one and different.
因此的话呢，这当中就有即一即一。
Now in the spiritual, in the material world, all form is changing.So in that sense, you could say it's illusory.
而在物质世界中，所有的形体，所有的事物都是在不断变化着的。因此的话，从这个角度来说，你可以说，他们都是sorry, Gumaji, they are changing, so they are temporary.
Yeah, it doesn't last, so it's illusory.
Illusory. 因此的话，由于所有的形体、所有的这个事物都是在不断变化着的，因此他们都是幻，你可以说都是幻觉的，都是虚构的。不叫虚构哈，是幻觉的。
But that doesn't mean that there's not a permanent, unchanging form or dimension where the form is not changing.
That doesn't mean that there is a form that is not that is not.
Yeah, spiritual dimension where form doesn't change.
Where form don't change. 但是这并不意味着物质世界当中就不存在一个形式或叫形体不会改变的这样的一个事物。也就是因为在灵性层面上的话呢，是事物是不变的，但并不意味着在物质世界当中就没有。
Yeah, so the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita describes that that the material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world.
博迦梵歌的第十五章就描述到物质世界就是灵性世界的反应。
Yeah, so it's like a banyan tree and it's reflected in the water.
这个我们这个物质世界就像是一棵大榕树一样，就是被反射在映照在这个池塘上的，或者叫是个这个湖水上的一棵大榕树。
Yeah, so this is described in verses chapter 15, verses 3 to 6.
所以说你可以阅读一下《博迦梵歌》第十五章的第三到六诗节。
Yeah, so Vaikuntha, the spiritual dimension is not imaginary.
所以说 Vaikuntha。或者是这个灵性的维度并不是想象出来的，并不是虚构的。
Right, it's non-fiction.
是不虚构的，非虚构的。
Okay, so 15:3-4. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down the strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment.And thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial.
好，我们来看十五章三到四十节译文。这棵树的真正形体在这个世界无法觉知到，谁也不知道这棵树终于哪里，始于哪里，根基在哪里。然而仍需意志坚定的以不执着为武器砍倒这棵树，这棵根深蒂固的树。然后你要探寻一个到达后永不回返的地方，在那里臣服至尊人格神手。至尊人格神手就是万物之始源，自太初以来就是万物延展之源。
And now the next verse, verse 5, describes how we actually enter, become eligible to enter the spiritual dimension.
然后接下来的第五诗节就描述到我们如何让自己变得有资格，能够得以进入到灵性的维度。
Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, and who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto that Supreme Person, attain that eternal kingdom.
接下来第五十节，那些脱离了虚假的名望、幻象和虚假联系的人，理解永恒的人，根绝了物质欲念的人，远离苦乐等二元性的人，以及不受迷惑、懂得怎样臣服至尊者的人，便能到达永恒的国度。
And then text 6. That supreme abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or the moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world.
接下来第六十节，我至高无上的居所受日月照耀，也不用火和电来照明，到达那里的人永不重返这个物质世界。
Yeah, so the material dimension is just a reflection of the spiritual dimension.
因此物质的维度，就是这个物质世界，实际上便是灵性世界的一种反应。
Yeah, so there is an eternal spiritual dimension that we can live in.
所以是有一个我们可以居住在其中的永恒的灵性世界、灵性维度的。
And in one sense, we've never left it. We're just dreaming that we've left it.
从一个角度来说，我们其实从来都没有离开过这个灵性维度，而我们只是做着梦，在梦里面认为自己离开了这个灵性的世界。
Yeah, so we have to wake up from the dream.
因此我们就需要从这个梦境当中醒来。
We have to wake up from the fiction and discover the non-fiction.
我们就必须要从虚构当中醒来，得以去发现非虚构。
Okay, thank you.
Okay, 谢谢你的问题。Okay, next one.
Yeah.
好，这位 Darcy 这位奉献者说，顶拜孤鲁，我们皈依顺从 Krishna 之后，是应该变得更加睿智敏锐，对吗？但是我休息一段时间后，发现自己在很多物质事物和物质技能方面变得木讷迟钝了。请问我这种情况正常吗？还是什么地方没有做对呢？So this Manaji here is offering her obeisances, and she's asking that, after we surrender and obey Krishna, after we surrender to Krishna and obey Krishna, and we should become more, quick-witted and intelligent and smart, right? However, after I practiced for some time, I discovered that I actually became quite clumsy and slow in dealing with material things and my material skills. So is this actually normal, or is it something that I'm not doing right?
Well, we have our material karma, and our abilities generally decrease as we age.
我们都有物质上的业报，而随着我们年龄的增长，我们的这个物质方面的能力、技能都是会下降的。
Yeah, so if we're actually making spiritual advancement, we can know if we're becoming more humble, tolerant, and respectful.And not needing any respect for ourselves. That's the criteria.
That's a criteria for if we actually make spiritual advancement, right?
Yes.
而如果我们真的是有取得灵性上的进步的话，我们便能够发现自己是不是变得更加的宽容，更加的容忍，更加的谦卑，更加的去尊重所有人，而不需要任何人给予我们敬意。所以说刚才所提到的这四点的话，也就是我们得去判断自己是否取得灵性进步的标准。
Yeah, so the more we're surrendered to Krishna, the more we're freed from our false identity.
而我们越是去臣服于 Krishna, 我们便越是从自己的虚假的身份认同中解脱出来，获得了自由。
And we live in the eternal now.
并且我们是活在永恒的当下此刻。
And we develop three qualities.
并且我们会发展出三种品质。
We become more focused.
我们会变得更加的专注。
And we develop clarity. We see things as they are, not as we imagine them.
Okay, since we have. 第二点，那就是我们会发展出更多的清晰度，或者叫清晰力，看哪个你觉得更合适。那么我们有了这样一种清晰的视角，那么我们就能够如其所示的去看到另一个事物或者是另一个人，而不会是基于我们的想象和基于我们的愿望来看待另一个事物和另一个人的。
And we develop equanimity.
然后第三点，我们便会发展出一种泰然处之的这种态度。
We're not as affected by happiness and distress, or pleasure, blame, or lamentation and worry like we used to be.
Lamentation and what?
Worry.
Worry. Oh, okay. 这个第三点的话呢，泰然处之其实也可以叫做平等的心态。那么这种平等的态度就意味着我们在快乐和痛苦之中，是保持一种平等的态度的。那么同样，我们曾经对人生所抱有的那些悲伤感和这种焦虑感、担忧感，那么已经不会再那样去影响到我们了。
Now we can make it even simpler. Prabhupada gives us these criteria to judge if we're making advancement or not.
但我们可以还把这个弄得更简单一点。帕帕也给到了我们一些判断标准，然后我们可以根据帕帕给的这个标准来判断自己有没有取得灵性进步。
Yeah, so those who are advancing and chanting no longer lament the past or worry about the future, and they experience joy at every moment.
No longer lament for the past and expect for the future, right?
Yeah, but experience joy in the present.
Okay, 所以说帕帕所说到的这句话就是，那些在Sorry, I forgot the first part.
You're no longer lamenting the past.
What's the first part? And Papa says that if we
can, you can judge your spiritual advancement. If you're making advancement in chanting. Then you're no longer lamenting the past.
I see.
Or worrying about the future.
Got it. 所以说帕帕所说的这一点就是，你可以通过这一点来判断自己是否在灵性上取得的进步，那就是你是不是仍然在继续悲伤着过去，仍然在焦虑着未来，担心着未来，而还是说。你有没有在当下此刻便体验到喜乐？
So in other words, if you're not happy in the present and you're lamenting the past and worrying about the future, then you're not doing your spiritual practice properly.
换句话说，如果你仍然在悲伤你的过去，还在担忧你的未来，却在当下此刻，或者叫你对现在的生活仍然感到不快乐的话，那么这便显示出你没有恰当的灵修。
You're still lost in the dream.
依然还迷失在自己的梦境之中。
Haven't awakened yet.
你还仍然需要从这梦境当中醒来。
Yeah, so it's not about being witty.
所以说这并不是关乎于是不是会变得更加的睿智敏锐。
It's about being happy.
而这是关乎于自己是不是变得更加的快乐。
Yeah, finding happiness within, finding the kingdom of God within.
能是不是能够在内在中感到快乐，是不是能够在内在中找到神的国土。
Okay.
Okay. So far, all the questions finished from last week. Okay, so there are like two questions from today.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe no one's come back yet, so maybe I can finish.
Okay. 就是说，因为他家人都到他家了，然后因为他们美国人这段时间在过感恩节嘛，所以说他的那些家人呐、啊、都跑到海边去玩去了，然后现在家里面大家都还没回来呢，所以就继续再上会儿课。OK， 我们来看今天问的问题。手机 YY 新人问顶拜咕噜，顶拜翻译不敢当，请问咕噜上周说念诵时呼气观全身，怎么观全身呢、啊？哦。So this devotee is offering his or her obeisances unto you and asking that the week before last week, Guru Maharaj, you have mentioned that when we breathe out, we see the whole body. How to see the whole body while chanting?
That's not see.
并不是观全身，并不是要去看到你的全身。
Just be aware of the sensations in your body.
而只是去觉知到你的全身，你的整个身体当中出现的感觉。
Yeah, just let the feeling of being in the body keep your attention in the present so that you can hear the holy name.
所以说就是去感受到在你念诵的那一刻，你的身体里所出现的感觉，然后去保持对这些感觉的觉知，那么以此的话呢，就能把你的注意力稳定的固定在当下此刻。当他把你的注意力固定在当下此刻的时候，你就能够去聆听到真正的聆听到圣灵了。
Yeah, so maybe you can't. If you can feel your whole body, that's fine. Otherwise, just feel your hands or your feet or feel something somewhere in your body, because you can only feel your body now.
所以如果你无法去感受到全身的话，那没问题，你可以在呼气的时候或者是在吸气的时候都是可以去感受到你的手啊，或者是感受到你的脚呀，然后或者是感受到你身体当中能够感受得到的任何一个部位，因为你只能在当下此刻去感受到你的身体。
Yeah, so it's only awareness that knows the body, and that awareness is the real you.
只有知觉才能知晓身体，而这个知觉便是你自己，便是你本人。
And you can only know yourself now.
所以，而你也只能在当下此刻去知晓你自己。
Yeah, and if you're chanting and you're daydreaming, thinking about this and that, then you're not really hearing.
而如果你在念诵的时候，却是在想着这儿，想着那儿，然后就处在这样一种白日做梦的过程，这种状态中，那么你就并没有真正的去聆听到圣灵。
Yeah, so we use the body to transcend the body.
所以说这就叫做运用你的身体来超越你的身体。
And to keep our attention from getting lost in the world of thought.
运用你的身体来使得你不会迷失在念头的世界之中。
So Krishna gives us a hint. He gives Arjuna a hint of how to awaken.
Krishna 就给阿朱娜的这样一个暗示，然后来告诉阿朱娜如何醒来。
He says, just as the sun illuminates the universe with light, the living entity, the awareness illuminates the body with consciousness.
所以说 Krishna 所说的这个暗示。对阿尔顿说的这个暗示，觉醒如何觉醒的这个话，就是正如太阳以光芒照亮整个宇宙，知觉也以知觉照亮整个身体。可能是指这个个体灵魂也以知觉照亮整个身体。
OK。
Guru Maharaj, do you want to continue?
How many more are there?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, they're coming in. Yeah, fine. I've run out of time. We'll have to carry these over. I think you've run out of voice too.
Oh, thank you, Guruji, for your consideration. Thought for this. Okay, Guru 说这个他今天时间原因的话呢，剩下的问题就只有下个星期来回答大家了。
Okay, so I really I always appreciate all the questions and also the reflections.
我真的很感谢大家提的问题以及你们的分享。
So don't feel bad if we couldn't answer your question this week. We'll answer it next week.
所以说大家要是你们的问题在这周没有回答，得等到下周的话，请你们千万别觉得不安逸哈。
So tune in to the Vaikuntha broadcast next week.
请大家下周继续收听 Vaikuntha 之音。
Okay, thank you so much. My obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas.
非常感谢大家，向来聆听课堂的所有的奉献者献上我的顶拜。
And my humble obeisances to Narayani and Sumukhi.And to Srila Prabhupada.
向 Sumukhi Mata Ji, 向 Srila Prabhupada 献上我谦卑的顶拜。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gunaji. Have fun. 外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。